Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome to the New Yorker Radio Hour.
My family in Haiti has been removing rubble from a school that was shattered during the earthquake of January 12, 2010. They have found bones, human bones. Because they're not scientists or DNA experts, it's impossible for them to trace the bones back to the bodies to which they once belonged. Active, lively people who spoke and laughed and danced and loved.
In 2011, Edwige Danticat wrote an essay for The New Yorker called Flight. It was the 10th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. Danticat was also writing in the wake of a devastating earthquake that had hit her home country of Haiti the year before.
Whose bones are these, they wonder? Do they belong to the bright student who was always first in her class? To a parent with whom a teacher had an appointment? Are they the teacher's bones? It is the burden of the survivors and the curious to decipher final moments, whether they occurred a year, 10 years, or 1,000 years ago. After 2 years, after 10 years, there are still enough people around to look back and to remember. After 100, 1,000, or 10,000 years, the bones and images will have to speak for themselves. The image that lingers most in my mind from September 11, 2001 is that of human beings attempting to fly. Men and women catapulted from or fleeing a volcano-like inferno of fuel, fire, heat, and smoke, then cutting across a clear blue sky down toward the ground. Some were alone, some were in pairs, some tried to make parachutes of ordinary things, curtains, clothes. One woman held on to her purse, perhaps thinking that she might need it on the very slight chance that she landed safely on the ground. We're often told that we must not compare tragedies, but how can we not when we experience them in the same body and with the same mind? Past horrors give us a language with which to define new ones. Worldwide terrors become personalized. My father, for example, who woke me from a deep sleep in another part of New York to tell me that the World Trade Center had been destroyed, died 4 years later of pulmonary fibrosis, a disease that also struck many 9/11 first responders. He had spent part of that day in downtown Brooklyn picking up people fleeing Manhattan and chauffeuring them home. That eerie coincidence is one more thing that links September 11th to all the other horrors that my father endured in his life, including a brutal dictatorship in Haiti.
As we look back up at the World Trade Center, and I know you can see it better with helicopters, but you can see it from the ground here as well. The picture that we are looking at, that most of Lower Manhattan is looking at, flames inside the World Trade Center and the huge hole.
My father was extremely critical of the television stations that showed the so-called jumpers. Yes, the images were shocking and deeply unsettling, but they rendered undeniable the true horror of that day. Even though, like bones, they mostly tell one story, the final one. The job of reconstructing lives belongs to the living, the memory keepers, which is what all of us became that day, willing or unwilling witnesses, unable to look away.
About yourself, I imagine. to. Where were you, sir?
Right underneath the Trade Center when it hit. Second one, both of them hit. We ran like hell all the way up here.
Did you happen to look up?
Yeah, we seen the second one run right into where I'm loading the truck. We got right out of there.
A few days after September 11th, when I ventured near the still smoky ashes of the World Trade Center, I kept thinking about a clear blue sky that had rained lives. I got on a bus filled with other ordinary New Yorkers whose eyes were still teary and red and whose mouths and noses were covered with dust masks. Besides the shared sensation of having been shattered, though, there is also a feeling of community. Those of us who were from countries that have always been, in their own ways, terrorized, could now be counselors to our previously sheltered friends, but only barely. For no matter how much we immerse ourselves in communal grieving, we all carry within ourselves our own private memorials of loss and an increasing fear of future ones. Watching any disaster from near or far makes us aware that memorials are not only places, but also experiences. Acts of remembrance can surface out of daily rituals, even interrupted ones. A place setting left unused at a dinner table, an oversized shoe into which we slip a foot, a prayer whispered over unclaimable bones. Though I occasionally suffer from a fear of flying, during the past 10 years, getting on an airplane has become an act of remembrance. Each necessary surrender to every new, sometimes frustrating security measure is an acknowledgement that I too am attempting to glide on wind currents, on borrowed wings, while also hoping, praying to land safely on the ground.
Edwige Dantacott. Her essay, Flight, was published in The New Yorker on the 10th anniversary of 9/11.